Felix, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't think you were going to be here. I can't lie to you. I'll give you a better introduction.
Okay.
We had you in at 85% being here.
Oh my
God. We had you in at 85.
Why 85?
See, normally I'm more in the loop about what happens.
Yeah.
I got told at 1 o'clock, hey, Felix is coming up here. And I kind of had that like, hey, I don't know, man. Normally for that, we kind of working, we doing stuff to make it happen.
See, it's an honor that y'all just worked me in like that quick, which is crazy.
I mean,
honestly,
you play on the Chiefs. We'll allow any Chiefs player to come up here. You know what I mean? We'll allow anyone to come up here
for sure.
And then I asked my producer, you should have heard it, he didn't have a very believable tone when I asked him if he was coming in here. And then when he was like, hey, he's downstairs, he was all fake excited about it, when he was the one doubting you. I didn't doubt you because I didn't know
it's at 3 o'clock. I was saying, look, I'm here a little bit earlier. Honestly, I was
that's
like,
never happened. No athlete has ever been on time for
that's
one of
crazy.
These.
Okay, listen, I'm the first, I guess. We'll see.
We're very happy right now to be joined in studio by Felix Onyedike Uzomah. You are hosting a 7-on-7 tournament. Tell us about it.
Yes, I'm hosting a 7-on-7. This is my second year that I'm having this. Basically, 7-on-7 tournament is a charity event that I am running, and basically, the biggest thing for this charity event is basically helping Children's Mercy with their kids that are suffering through anything they have disability-wise. Because I remember when I was a kid, I had a hernia in my belly button that was life-threatening. And then my mom took me to Children's Mercy, and they simply took it out. So that was kind of a heartwarming feeling for me. So I wanted to try to get back at them. And what better way to get back at them than having a charity event and raising some money for them and having a charity event with adults, because I know some adults think they got it for 7-on-7, think they can run routes and still do what the pros can do. So I might as well like see how they're gonna take that on. So, and also having high school kids too. So like I having some of the high school metro teams around the metro compete in this, and also some middle schoolers, just to raise even more money for the organization. So yeah.
Hold on, there's going to be adults playing in this thing too?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like they need to be going to Big Children's Mercy Hospital. Hey, listen. That, you can't, come on now.
Listen, it's crazy because last year.
Why are you letting adults play in this thing? This should be for the kids.
I mean, listen, we got some of the kids. We got the high schooler, we got the middle school teams going, but we have another separate day for the adults because, you know, there's some adults that be like, oh, why can't he catch the ball? Or, oh, he can't guard it. Like I can go out there.
I see what you're trying to do.
I can go
out
there and do that. So shoot, we have to set on 7-on-7 events, see if they can be what they said they can do on the field. So, and then also this is a fun way, because I know a lot of adults probably miss the game of football. So like that's a fun way for them to go out there with some of their friends or something like that, just to go catch routes, score some touchdowns if they can, or anything like that. So yeah.
No, see that end part there, you're trying to put a little nice sauce on it on the end. We know what this is. People been talking to you on Instagram and stuff like, hey, if you guys think it's easy, I'm gonna give you the platform to come out here and see if you can play. And then when you leave with a torn ACL, you're like, see, it ain't that easy.
Shoot, listen, last year was no torn ACL, but I mean, people were very hot, out of shape last year. I'm not gonna lie. But honestly, I'm a defensive lineman. I want to catch the ball myself. So it's not just like what they were saying on Instagram or anything like that. But like also, they probably say it to other receivers and stuff like that about like, oh, he should have caught this, catch that. But it's harder than what you think. So, and I know that for a fact. So I'm just excited to see, because last year we had like a 30-year-old team that won, beat everybody. Even like I. Surprised me, because I didn't know. I was like, oh, there's a guy that's like literally that has a kid in the stands watching him go like ball out on these other kids, not other kids but other adults. So it's kind of cool to see that. So I'm very excited.
Right now we're joined in studio by Felix Onyedike Uzomah. He is hosting a 7-on-7 tournament on Sunday, June 22nd. It is over at Lee Summit High School. You were telling us a story about you as a kid. Have you had contact with the doctors? Or I'm sure they would like to know that everything worked out for you physically. You made a lot of money being really athletic.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. I mean, kudos to them, honestly, because obviously without them, I would not even be here to this day. So kudos to them. This is my way of giving back to them, basically, having a charity event. And hopefully whoever those doctors were, hopefully they see this and reach out and just see, are proud of me for even getting back to them. So
Were you in school when NIL was a thing, or was that like a year late?
My last year.
Your last year.
No, that's when it was peaking up. So
okay,
yeah.
All right. Because I'm assuming, like, local kid, you went to K-State. Yeah. I'm assuming NIL worked out for you your last year at K-State.
It was decent, I'll say. It's crazy now at K-State and stuff like that. So, like, my year was, like, the first year it passed. So, it was just, like, already the beginning of it. So, I got a little stuff, like a car and a little bit of money.
What kind of car did you get? Because I'm seeing Avery rocking around in that purple Corvette.
See, I wish I was him, but I had like a Challenger from Robbins Motors. He hooked me up with a Challenger. He hooked me up with a Ram TRX, but I ain't got no Z02 like Avery or a Mercedes like Avery. That's a different type of level. So
you went to Lee Summit. Which school do you dislike more, Lee Summit North or Lee Summit West?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't say I dislike any of the teams. I said we had a bigger rivalry with North. Because we played them the most, then I played Lee Summit West. I just know the last time I played any of those teams again, we beat them. So I'm going to say that again. If you're Lee Summit North or West, anybody hearing that, 2019, we beat North, killed them. But thank you.
We like asking local athletes this question. Who was the team that when you guys saw the schedule, like, oh, that's an automatic win? Who was that team back when you were at Lee Summit North?
You were putting me on the
spot. Yeah, I mean,
I got you. I got you. Let's see. St. Joe was the team. It was like, we got them. Park Hill South, but honestly, they put up a fight with us a little bit. We almost lost that game my last year, which I vividly remember. And also, like, what's another team? Those are honestly probably the two biggest teams. Everybody else was low-key a competition for us. So we had a big competition. Blue Springs always got us at the last minute, all like 2 years in a row, last minute. It was like a Hail Mary they got us on to win the game. And then they stopped us like my very last year. They stopped us on a one-yard fourth down stop. So, and they won that game. So it was two tough like games with Blue Springs. So, yeah.
Who knocked you out of state?
Blue Springs. Oh, Rockhurst. That game was crazy. It was 17-0 in the fourth quarter.
I was going to say, because everybody's got a Rockhurst story.
I know. We were on their neck the whole time. And then I can't vividly remember. I just know it was like they got it at pick six. And then other than that, they were kept on fighting. And then they eventually like beat us at the last minute. So it was tough because we had a very good team that year, and then obviously it didn't end out the way we wanted. So,
which team do you own more, the Raiders or the Jayhawks?
Do I owe more?
Own.
Ooh, I'll say the Jayhawks because obviously I played more Jayhawks in my lifetime.
I mean, you also won a Super Bowl in the Raiders building, so that has to at least factor in too. That has to
that
factor
is
into
true.
This conversation.
I guess, actually, I will take that back. I guess you can say the Raiders. I mean, I did play the Raiders, but probably like four times now. Yeah, I think it is the Raiders, but Jayhawks were like the funner, like more rivalry because it was just right there, right across the street. So like obviously they always talking stuff like that, but we always owned them football, and it was just never, they never won. So yeah.
Rob is a KU, proud KU alum.
Oh.
He is a season ticket holder in football, basketball, baseball. He just loves KU everything. He doesn't even get excited about playing K-State anymore. You guys have just taken his spirit, his soul, his enthusiasm for the Sunflower Showdown away.
I'm so sorry. I just got to tell you that. I know like 2 years ago when Will Howard was playing, you guys almost beat us. Ooh, that was I was at that game and I was low-key scared. I was like, there's no way KU's going to beat us. This has been 13 years straight. But they pulled it out with the win. I'm so sorry. Maybe this year. Maybe not, actually. So we're going
to
see.
I mean, I want the streak to go as long as it continues to make him uncomfortable. Yeah. I want you guys to beat KU from now until infinity.
I know. I know if KU beats us, it's going to be a Super Bowl. And I'm going to be hearing that like every day. So hopefully they don't. We're going
to
see.
Where's your favorite place to eat in Manhattan?
Ooh, Manhattan. Ugh, that's a great question. Breakfast. There's a lot. Umi's Japanese Steakhouse is probably my favorite. I go there almost every time. Me and Deuce, we always ate there in the morning. Not in the morning, like after the, what's called, our last like meetings after practice and stuff like that. We always had Umi's Japanese Steakhouse. And then also, what's the other one? I want to say Burnin' Baker, I think that's what it's called. That's the, Rockin' K's breakfast place. Fire. If you go to Manhattan, Kansas, you gotta you got to take a stop there. It's very good.
I just went there. I went to their last home basketball game this year, mm-hmm. and I went to Aggieville, and I don't remember the name of the place. We went out just kind of drinking, hanging out. Mm-hmm. The prices were not real. This one place we went to, I think it was called Willie's. I don't remember the name
Willie's.
Of the place. Yep. It's on Aggieville. Uh-huh. The drinks were $1. I had to ask the woman, was this a real price? I thought I was being punked. I was expecting Ashton Kutcher to come out of the bushes. She told me it was $1, $2 for a double. Mm-hmm. I paid for everybody in the bar to have two rounds. Oh, my tab was $32.
That's crazy.
I walked out of there. The kids were so happy. That was excited. It was $32. I'll never forget.
That's crazy. Manhattan is a good place. Like, when I was there, I don't think I barely ever pay for a drink there. People were just paying me drinks because I guess how cheap it was. So like I literally go to bars, they were like, oh, drinks on me. I'm like, okay. Like, okay. Like, and they're just like, oh yeah, it's cheap and everything like that. So I'm like, oh shoot, all right, I'll go ahead and take it. So it's funny how that you say that, because it's just like Manhattan is just like, they call it Manhappiness for a reason. So like everybody, all the people down there are very good people. They're very happy. They're very they are very respectful and everything like that. It's like it's a place to be. I will tell you that. It's very small, but it just, nobody's really fussing or anybody's really angry down there. So
I got a little bit of a beef with you. I have to tell you this story. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big Missouri fan. Missouri played at K-State. I was fired up for this game. You can ask Rob. I was fired up. You remember it was raining hard that day.
Yep, I remember.
I went to the Dollar General. They were all out of ponchos. Uh-huh. I bought trash bags. I cut the whole. I was ready. I was fired up. I thought Missouri was going to give y'all the work. Mm-hmm. It was the least amount of fun I've ever had watching football in my entire life.
For real?
Why'd you have to do that to Mizzou? That was unnecessary. You guys just could have won 24-17. You didn't have to do all that. You didn't have to beat Missouri like that.
I mean, it was just like, it was one of those things. We were ready, honestly, because we had a lot of SEC team, this SEC team that. People were talking so much smack to us before that week, and we didn't really say anything. We just like, we knew what was going on. We knew how big this game was. And obviously, there's a lot of KC kids that were also playing with me that wanted to go to Mizzou, didn't get recruited by Mizzou, say we're too small, we're not good enough. Even Deuce-Mon, like, they're not good enough, this and that. So it was just like a big chip on our shoulders. So it was like every time we made a play, every time we did something, we had to do a little extra more because that game meant a lot for us. So sorry about that.
I did get to go to the second one, though. I was there when they kicked the game-winning field goal.
That was crazy. I'm not going to lie. That was wild. I was watching it at home. Not at home. I don't know where I was. I think I was on the bus. I forgot where I was. But I think I was on the bus, and I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, he missed that field goal. And I'm hearing people cheer and stuff like that. And then next thing I know, the next day, Nick Bolton, he puts a Mizzou shirt in my locker. And I'm like, bro, he's like, oh, look, he said, M-I-Z, like, he was just like bragging about it to me. I'm like, okay, bro, like, you got this one. I was like, I wish you were around whenever we beat them the year before, but it's cool.
So my sister, she's around your age. My sister's 22 years old. That was her first football game that she's ever been to.
Mizzou?
was the Mizzou K-State game in for FRO Field. So we're leaving. My sister's all fired up. She's like, are all football games like this? I didn't have the heart to tell her. Yeah. I was like, kinda like you saw a special one, like last second 60-yard field goal, everybody runs on the field. They all don't end that way.
Oh my God, not at all. Like it's the vibes are so good. That's a special thing about football too. Like, oh, because you never know what's gonna happen at the end. Like you have to keep watching it and keep playing it until the end because you're gonna see a crazy ending. Like you just never know, which is wild.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Felix Onyedike Uzomah. He has a 7-on-7 tournament that is on a Sunday, June 22nd. It is at Lee Summit High School. What led you to K-State? I'm looking at your offer list. You have a Rivals page. It's still up.
Wow.
You have a Rivals page. It has the schools listed as K-State, Northern Iowa, Tulsa, Nebraska. What made you choose K-State?
That's funny. None of those schools I had scholarships on. They were just looking for me, which is a big thing. But I had a offer to NDSU. It was not really a full ride offer. It was kind of partial. And then they took it away if I didn't go sign during a certain time. So I was left with no offer the winter of 2019. So I was scratching and clawing. I didn't even know if I was going to play football. It was like a thing like, oh, if I get an offer, so be it, I would try. But at the end of the day, I knew I had to pay for school. So it was just like my head was all over the place. And then Connor Riley, which is the offensive line coach for the Dallas Cowboys now. He came up to me. He was like, hey, you're a very good player. Like, the thing is, we're going to have to offer you a blue shirt, which is like you walk on for the first semester, and then basically it's like a tryout thing. Like, you earn scholarship if you're worthy or something like that. So honestly, I had no other option, no other place to be. I was really gonna even try to even walk on Mizzou if that was an option, if I talk to coach or anything like that. So I told him, I was like, listen, hey, I'm just gonna take this option. I had no other choice to go. K-State, and my sister's already there too, so like she's gonna help me like with anything, like small things like that. So I was like, honestly, like I might just have to just take this offer. Like I went on my signing day. You can ask any of my fellow teammates. I went on my signing day, had no K-State stuff on, no K-State, nothing. I just went there with the poster that said signed to K-State, and my parents were already proud. So like we just showed up there, and then we were just excited to go to K-State. So yeah.
How do you get from that to the NFL? Like I'm imagining you're not thinking, hey, one day I'm going to play in the Super Bowl. One day I'm going to be in the National Football League. You're not thinking that when you don't have a scholarship offer. When did it start to shift in your mind? Like, hey, I got a chance to actually go to the league.
It was kind of embedded in my head when I was young. Like I wanted to say, like, obviously Little League, everybody has those dreams about, oh, I can make it to the league. Oh, this and that. And I just remember seeing, growing up in the eighth grade, seeing Drew Locke get drafted. And I was just like, he's from Lee Summit, and he just got drafted. So why can I be that type of player too? And obviously, he's playing quarterback, but I feel like it was the opportunity showed like it was realistic having somebody from Lee Summit to go get drafted by the Broncos. So my sophomore year, I kept on scratching and clawing. I was undersized and everything like that. Nobody really believed in me like that about – me taking it to the next level. Obviously, like, it was a huge thing because I was one of the only people that is playing collegiate football. So, like, it was one thing, especially COVID, was whenever I just wanted to transfer my body. I remember in COVID, I was watching Kayvon Thibodeau highlights. I was watching Chase Young highlights. And I was just telling myself, like, I could be this. And throughout that whole time, almost every day, even my K-State career, I just tried to strive to be the best. And then my second year at K-State, like the Texas Tech game, I got the safety. And after that, I came on the sideline and my coach was like, hey, listen, you're going to the league. Like, whether you like it or not, like you have the ability to go to the league, and you gotta believe that in yourself. And then since then, I just been taking that step, taking that role to try to become where I am right now. So yeah,
I went on Rivals. Do you know who the number one player in your class was in Missouri? We can even do national if you want to do this. So when you come out of high school back in 2019, I actually looked it up for Kansas. Actually, Graham Mertz was the number one player in Kansas back in 2019.
Oh wow,
they even have you ranked in the state of Missouri. Now look at them. Rivals didn't know what they were talking
about.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's all like that. Like, a lot of people tell me, you're not going to believe everything you see on Rivals or anything like that. It's the players in the heart, not online. So that's what I heard one coach that told me whenever I was getting recruited and had a 2-star or anything like that. So, I mean, it's crazy, honestly, but it's a fun journey, and I'm still riding it. So
the number one player was Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams.
Plays for the Lions, a wide receiver. He went to Cardinal Ritter.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He wasn't. Hold on, he was in CBC?
He graduated in 2019 like you did.
Oh,
he went to Ohio State, then he transferred.
Oh, I graduated in 2020.
Oh, let me pull it up then. Hold on here. Yeah. I misread it. Hold on.
Maybe Dante Manning is probably one of them. He's a good friend of mine. I think he was one of the top. I mean, he'd probably be fourth or something like that.
Mookie Cooper. Who went to Mizzou.
Oh, where's he at now?
I don't think he got drafted, actually. I'm not sure where he is.
Mookie Cooper, what did he play?
Let me see who the Kansas one was, actually. I'm intrigued to find out who the Kansas player was in 2020, who that player was. Turner Cochran, you know him from Free State?
Mm-mm.
Okay, he went to Nebraska.
Oh, wow. Went to Nebraska. How many years in Nebraska? You graduated?
I never heard of this guy until just now. He played offensive tackle. He was 6'6", 270.
Oh,
imagine being a 17-year-old sick. You couldn't tell me anything.
Yeah, you can't. He's bullying everybody. That's crazy. He's probably a great player. Shoot, that's wild, honestly.
Who was the toughest player you went up against in high school?
Daniel Parker. Still, this, I don't know where he's at now, but he played at Blue Springs. I remember my sophomore year, it was a welcome to football moment for me. But I still didn't transition. I still played basketball, but I still didn't like quit football. Obviously, I was just like, I gotta rise up and boss up if I still want to play this sport. I remember it was like a run play, and he pancaked me on the ground. He almost did like a swimming move on me. I was like, oh my gosh, I got killed on that, which was crazy though. But it's funny. That's funny though.
Who was that welcome to the NFL moment? You talk about like Daniel Parker, like going up against my like, hey, this is different.
Yeah.
Who was that dude in the league?
Oh, in the league, I would say Penel Sewell. I remember my first ever game. I went against him. I was trying to go inside, and then he threw me to the ground. And then I think the guard came up over me and got me too. I think he threw me also threw me to the ground too. It was weird. I didn't even know what was going on. I just got hit. So I was like, oh my god. I stood up. I'm like looking around. I'm seeing stars a little bit. I'm like, okay. Let me lock back in and get right back to the next play, which was crazy. So, yeah.
A couple of random questions. We'll get you out of here. Who do you get asked about more, Travis, Patrick, or Taylor Swift?
I think Pat. I think I get asked more. They always ask me about, stuff with Pat, but, at the end of the day, we just have a basic conversation, and I'm like, he's just a regular guy. So, I don't really know what to say because they always say, how's Pat Mahomes? How's this and that? I'm like, he's just a regular dude that enjoys obviously playing football just like anybody else. But he's a good person, kind hearted and everything like that. You can talk to him easy if you need something. So yeah, they always ask me about Pat all the time. So
how many players have you switched jerseys with?
Switched jerseys? I think I have probably two right now.
How does that work? Is this something you set up before the game, or yeah, is it after the game you hey, I'm a big fan of yours, can we just swap? Has anybody ever have you ever seen somebody turn down a jersey request before? We don't see that very often.
Not really. I think I was actually a victim of turning down one, which is
somebody kinda came up to you and wanted your jersey.
Yeah,
and
but
it, to
it was like they had two people on the team that I already talked to before, and he asked me to switch his jersey, but I told him I was hey, listen, I was gonna switch it with my other friend Josh. We already talked about it, but I later sent him a jersey after that, and I was like, hey, I feel so bad, but here's another jersey, and I wrote him a letter and everything like that. I sent it to his facility in Tampa. So yeah, that's crazy though. I never seen anybody literally turned down in front of my eyes about that, or I never asked and got turned down myself. It's usually I talk to them, or if it's mutual and you guys we are good friends, obviously that jersey's gonna get switched. So
what's your favorite barbecue place?
Ooh.
You're from here, so I can ask you this with a degree of you know what you're talking about.
I know. But
how about this? Think about this then. Give me your favorite barbecue place, and then give me your sleeper place. Because one of the beautiful things about Kansas City, I tell mm-hmm. people that aren't from here, whatever I think the eighth best barbecue yeah. place is still the best barbecue an outsider's ever had.
Okay. I would say first of all, Gates is still I eat Gates more than anything. I think it's one of the best. I'm not gonna lie. Obviously, it's more known around here, but I feel like if you know what you're getting, it's gonna be the best depending on what you eat, because some people don't eat the right stuff there. But also, Arthur Bryan's is a place that I went with as a little kid, and every time I eat it, I just know it's a good time. I'm gonna eat. I'm gonna gain at least 10 pounds there. So I think Arthur Bryan's is a sleeper. But obviously you got the Jack Stack. Jack Stack's still good. Probably my third best. Q39 is, it's top five for me, but, I would say Arthur Bryan's is sleeper. I think the best for real is really Gates. So
if,
yeah.
If you text, Spags or Andy Reid, who texts you back first?
Probably Spags. Yeah. Spags.
How would you rate his texting on a scale from 1 to 10? Is he a good texter or a bad texter?
He's a good texter. I don't really text Spags like that. Obviously I see him in person all the time, but he's a good texter. I'm not gonna say regular, but he's not Hollywood, if okay. that makes sense.
All right. So yeah, this is the last question. I'll get you out of here with this. We play this game mm-hmm. where you have to call one teammate right now.
Yeah.
If they answer the phone, I'll give you $1 million.
Yeah.
I'll give you $1 million.
Yeah.
You can't tell them just boom, I'm calling you, they'll answer the phone. And then I'll give you another $1 million. You call a teammate. You know there's no chance they answer the phone.
Okay.
Give me the teammate that you would 100% sure they'll answer, the one that no chance they're not answering the phone.
I have a couple teammates. Probably Mike Pinnell, George Karloftis. Let's see. I think a teammate that will not answer the phone. That's crazy because I don't know anybody that I call that don't just answer the phone like that. So... Cause he'll answer the phone. Wow, I don't know who would not answer the phone. Maybe Chris Jones, probably. Yeah, probably.
You would know yeah, if he's gonna answer the phone
maybe,
or not.
Maybe Chris Jones, because I don't call him that much because I see him a lot in person. But yeah, maybe Chris Jones, maybe because he's a busy man, so he got a lot going on. So
I wish we had something good enough to give you. You make too much money, but like, hey, we'll give you this. We make too much to actually try to see if this would happen.
I mean,
because now I'm curious to see if this would happen or not.
I mean, we could shoot. We could take.
You know what? Can we play this game, Rob? Let's see if we can play this game. Okay. Let's play the game. We're gonna take a break. I'm actually really curious. Hold on, no. Okay. Pick the two people now.
Okay.
Give me the person that will answer and the person that won't answer the phone.
Yeah.
And then we will try to see if they'll answer the phone next. I'm excited to play this game live. Okay. It's The Drive.
Okay. The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I don't know what happened during the break. We have Felix Onyedike Uzomah here in studio. He has agreed to do a Ask Us Anything on the text line. He was fascinated by the text line. And I said, I will never get to experience what your job is like. I'll never play in the NFL. If you want to know what my job is like, start asking questions on the text line. Start asking questions. You'll see it. You were going through the text line. I try to keep people away from it. All right. We are going to play a game before we do that. All right. We have agreed to the terms. This is what we need to do. I don't have to ask any of these people a question. One teammate that right now you are 100% certain will answer the phone. Tell us who it is. You call them. You can just say, hey, and then that's it. And then give us the one teammate you are convinced will not answer the phone.
Yeah, I think Rashee Rice will answer and probably not Josh Williams. But I don't – it's a busy afternoon, so we'll – I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, all right. We have agreed to the terms of the deal. We are calling Rashee Rice to see if he will answer the phone. Rob, are you confident that he'll answer the phone?
I mean, if he's confident – he knows Rashee Rice better than any of us. So, yes, I'm confident in that one.
He's FaceTiming him.
Oh, that changes all the calculus.
That's not a call. No, that counts as a call. Oh, you hear that? You hear? Yeah.
That's a few rings.
Maybe we have to switch it.
No. Right out the gate.
I should have called Josh first.
Right out the gate here. This is a 0-for-1. This is a wide left.
Maybe you said call, so maybe if I call him. Let's see.
I'll defend him here. A FaceTime is very different than a phone call.
Yes.
There's a whole different energy to it.
Let's see.
What's the different energy about it?
I mean,
if I FaceTime you, I need to communicate.
Maybe he's not occupied to see his face right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Somebody's saying I can do it. I know who would call and who would answer and who wouldn't answer. We could play this game with just Danny and Nick. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
All right, Rashee Rice did not answer.
You just lost me money.
All right, Rashee Rice did not answer. All right, we got him on the no list. Do you want another person to add to this list?
Oh, to
yes,
answer?
Another person. I'll give you a mulligan here. One person your team, you are certain they will answer the phone.
That's crazy. Okay, let's see.
You FaceTime him and called him. He thinks this is something serious.
Mike Pinnell.
All right.
At three rings, you're starting to sweat.
For sure.
One more ring. Oh, wow. This is crazy. And we're in a busy afternoon.
Oh, here we go.
Let y'all know about that.
Watch the one.
That's crazy.
All right.
It's wild because they answer when I'm like, that's wild.
All right. No, they're off. All right. Now we're going
Josh
to.
Josh Williams.
You said Josh Williams won't pick up the phone.
You know how bad I'll be if he picks up the phone.
Yeah. You might owe us something at the end of this.
Man.
You might owe me and Rob.
FaceTime, I guess.
I hope he answers now.
Don't answer. He said, oh my gosh, poor Felix.
Okay, this might be a win here.
I have a text. Sorry, I'm busy.
Oh, he texts you back. Okay, no, that counts.
I mean, that he at least was acknowledging it was happening.
Hold on. Is this the person you just called?
No, this is Mike Pinnell.
Okay. All right.
So do I get a free one?
No, that doesn't count. No.
But it's 3:00. People are busy right now. It's okay, big fella. Dang, this is like crazy. They think, they're putting me on. Oh, wow. Yeah,
I've never seen someone so fascinated by the text line in real time.
They're bashing me on this. This is wild. This is crazy. Let's see.
Who are you calling now? Who's the next person on this list? I'm fascinated by these attempts.
Let's see.
Right now we have Felix on UDK.
So if I call one last person, it's
hold on. What category are you putting them in? Are they going to answer or not answer? I want you to guess correctly here, because right now you're 0-3.
That's crazy.
Right now you're 0-3.
I'm not 0-3. Josh Williams didn't answer.
Yeah, he's right on Josh Williams. Yeah,
okay. That's a plus.
All right.
So if I call George.
Okay, yeah. Is George going to answer or George not going to answer?
I think he's going to answer.
Okay, let's see if he answers the phone.
If he doesn't,
are you going to FaceTime him? Because the FaceTimes have let you down.
No.
Notice he had the FaceTime for Josh, trying to get that win. I see how it is.
Cheap. Cheap win. I'm starting to question if you even know these people.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm questioning. Let me guess, he's busy too? He's working out?
They said Cooper Beebe will answer.
No, he's not answering you either. He's not answering you either. Oh, my goodness.
It's a bad day.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's ask Cooper Beebe. Let's see.
No. I'm starting to question if you don't even know these people.
I don't think we have service here, actually. I don't know if we have service.
No, we got service.
This is quickly turning into him gloating about his contact list real quick.
Yeah.
No. How many other NFL players you got in there? Watch this.
Let's see if Cooper answers.
He's not going to. He's not going to answer. Hello? Hello?
I don't know. Does this count? Oh, it looked like he picked up. Okay, all right.
They said, did Felix get his key card taken away? That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, you know what? We're going to do this. Text line 913-586-7965. It's our last segment with Felix on UDK Uzama. He's having a 7-on-7 youth tournament. We will answer as many of your questions that you have. He's agreed to do a Ask Us Anything on the text line. We'll do that coming up on the other side. 913-586-7965. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, I'm sitting here with Felix on UDK Uzama. He asked if I was born in the 1900s.
I know you were born in 1900s.
Yeah, why'd you say it like that, though?
No, I just said that would happen back in the 1900s.
Yeah, like, Chiefs. The way you said it made it sound like it was such a long time ago.
It was. I mean, it was. Chiefs didn't win since 1960? I don't even know the history for real about that, but they didn't win for a minute. So that's crazy.
Are you ready for random question time?
Yeah, I'm going to do three. And then
he's going to do three random questions. No, we got to do more random questions than that. You've committed to random question time now.
Okay.
Rob, hit the music.
Just three. Just three.
All right, 913-586-7965. He's agreed to do three random questions. Felix, what is your favorite restaurant to eat at in downtown Lee Summit?
I like Thirsty Social, but my breakfast place there is Neighborhood Cafe. I used to go there when I was, in middle school, and I kept on going there throughout my days in high school.
Is that the place with the cinnamon rolls?
Yes.
Yeah, fire. I've been there before.
Very good.
I like that place. All right, two more questions left. 913-586-7965. Do you feel the pressure of being drafted in your hometown?
There was a lot of pressure. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure because people expect a lot from you, so stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you have to keep your head high and just remember why you're here at this point. And then obviously give – play and put out what God has given to you. So that's a major thing. What's my gates order?
What's your gates order?
Ooh, the number three. If you don't know what the number three, look it up.
What do you put on your hot dogs?
Just ketchup for real. And then, yeah, just ketchup.
I don't have any more questions after that. Ketchup?
Yeah, just ketchup.
Ketchup?
Let's see. Hold on. What did I see here?
Look, you want to answer one. See, look at that.
This is my last one.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's see.
This question right here is, I wish you would answer this one.
Okay.
What's the worst pronunciation you've ever heard for your name? Is actually a really good question.
Probably not appropriate. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
Because it's pretty bad. And
all right.
It's like,
that's fine. You answer the one you wanted to answer then.
Okay. His thoughts on Amar Mbembu getting drafted. He went to Lee Summit North. Yeah. I was great friends with Amar Mbembu growing up. Used to babysit his little cousin, Angel. And he also came to my house a couple times too. So. It's very exciting to obviously see him get drafted to the Jets. He's a very good player, and he has a lot of confidence in his play and everything like that. I try to recruit him to K-State whenever he was getting getting recruited. Obviously, his best match was Mizzou, so I'm happy for him and everything like that. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do this year.
You have a 7-on-7 tournament. It's Sunday, June 22nd. It's from 10 to 2 over at Lee Summit High School. Man, thanks a lot for coming in today, man. We really appreciate it.
On Saturday is the high school 7-on-7 tournament on the 21st.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Got it. Give me that information, Rob. I'll very happily read that.
For sure.
Thanks a lot for coming in, man. We really
thank you guys so
much,
for real.
That is Felix Onyedike Uzomah joining us in studio. Really quick, I want to play this for you guys. Nick Chubb, he has signed a deal with the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans have agreed to terms with Browns Pro Bowl running back Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb headed to Houston today. Actually, probably is already there. Going to take a physical. Pending this physical, which I assume is going to be fine. He did suffer an injury at the end of last year. That was a long time ago. Pending the results of this physical, Nick Chubb, the longtime Browns running back, one of the faces of the Browns franchise, a four-time Pro Bowler in Cleveland, who is one of the best running backs over the course of the last decade, is expected to land in Houston. And this one could have gone a couple different ways. Before the draft, the Browns had discussions with Nick Chubb about bringing him back. Those discussions did not land in a deal. They went to the draft. Browns addressed the position in the draft. The door was still open, but the Browns did address the position. The Texans did have a running back spot alongside Joe Mixon. And now they agreed to terms right before mandatory minicamp with Nick Chubb, an incentive-laden deal that should be done and finalized later today.
Two things. Number one, I'm happy that Nick Chubb is off the board, so we don't have to have a conversation about Nick Chubb, because I was not super interested in the Chiefs bringing in Nick Chubb. He feels like a name that potentially would have come up at some point. You guys know how I feel about the Chiefs and running back. I certainly think they need a little bit more at the position. I just don't think that Nick Chubb was the correct answer for that, so I'm happy that we don't even need to have that conversation. Rob, let me ask you this question. Who do you think runs for more yards this year, Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I'll take Kareem Hunt, because I don't know Nick Chubb's going to be healthy. Nick Chubb's health is a major question to me. So I will take Kareem Hunt, but I think it's like 285 to 215. I don't think either person is a wow number.
I mean, Nick Chubb last year had 102 carries for 332 yards last year and three touchdowns. He averaged 3.3 yards per carry. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, man. Nick Chubb was probably a top five running back in the league. I mean, Rob, I hate to say you're right when it comes to these things, but I mean, Nick Chubb in 2022 had 302 carries for 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns. Since 2002, he has run for less than 500 yards in two seasons with three touchdowns on 140 carries. So it just goes to show you how quickly things can fall apart for you at the position. Now you're 29, going on 30 years old. You just signed a one-year heavy incentive-laden contract with the Houston Texans to go be a backup for Joe Mixon. Things turn really, really quickly at the position, and Nick Chubb might be the most recent example.
I mean, it's the biggest example, to my point, is always Todd Gurley, but Nick Chubb might come in second place. Like, it's just, and it's an old Therese quote, and it's rings in my head with running back all the time. You only have so many hits on your body. You only have so much you can handle that position. And it's a position that every time you touch the football, you are getting contact, and it just wear and tear is huge. And Nick Chubb appears to be, at least it appears that he's on the wrong side of that wear and tear. Maybe he finds the fountain of youth with the offense down in Houston, but I'm betting against that happening.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, would you be interested in J.K. Dobbins? I'd be interested in J.K. Dobbins if they didn't have Elijah Mitchell. I feel like they kind of have. Now, I think J.K. Dobbins is the better player than Elijah Mitchell, but basically the same complaints you would make about J.K., you would make about Elijah, right? Elijah's good when he's healthy. There's no question about that. I would say the same thing for J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins is a pretty productive running back when he's been healthy. He just... hasn't always been healthy. He was really good the first half of last season. Last year, he almost ran for 1,000 yards, had 195 carries for 905 yards, averaged 4.6 yards per carry. Like, J.K. was having a pretty solid season, and then at the second half of the year, he just started to get hurt, just wasn't nearly as productive toward the end of the season. I mean, I think you'd rather have J.K., but I don't think the Chiefs are in the market for a veteran running back, not with the room that they have now. The only way the Chiefs will pick up another running back is if an injury happens, like what happened last year when they went out to go get Kareem Hunt. I don't think they're in the running back acquiring business at this point. I actually don't really know where the Chiefs, like if the Chiefs added a free agent at some point between now and training camp, a guy that you've heard of, a guy that you think could potentially make the team, not just a move for the sake of making a move for a camp body. I'm not even really sure where that position would be at. I feel like for the most part, I mean, you and I, Rob, could probably get really close to their 53-man roster. We might get 51 out of the 53 individuals if we did that experiment now and they haven't even finished the mandatory part or got to St. Joe. I think for the most part, we know who the Chiefs are this upcoming season.
I mean, I cannot think, maybe defensive tackle, maybe, but even then, like they added Jerry Tiller. I think the team you see on paper right now is the team heading to St. Joe. Now, if something happens in St. Joe, that changes the calculus, kind of like we've seen years past players get hurt up there. But I think right now, this is their 90 that's going up to, what is it, the name of the dorm they're standing up there. This is the group.
Text line 913-586-7965. Didn't J.K. Dobbins sign somewhere? No, he did not. He actually just visited the Broncos, but he did not sign a contract. So, no, if you want to go get J.K. Dobbins, you definitely still got the ability to go get J.K. Dobbins. I mean, I imagine he'll sign with somewhere. Really, no, there's nothing happening right now. So, if you can sign a running back here, kind of like what we just saw happen with Nick Chubb, it's not that big of a deal. J.K., he's 26 years old, so he's going to be on a team somewhere. All right, coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about baseball. The Royals have an off day. Jack Caglione set to make his Kauffman Stadium debut coming up tomorrow. Keep it right here, so drive.